Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
What a great place you ended up this weekend. The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe. Being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. And by Captivate Network. You can visit them at captivate.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production. We have a very special guest today and a lot of cool stuff going on. David Meerman Scott is the author of Tuned In, Uncover the Extraordinary Opportunities That Lead to Business Breakthroughs. It's a Wiley publication. He's also the author of the Web Inc. Now blog and The New Rules Marketing and PR, a book which won the 800 CEO Read Author's Choice Award in 2007. Find out more from the website. It's tunedinbook.com, tunedinbook.com. So yeah. David will be with us here momentarily. We've got also momentarily Gene Bliss, The Customer Experience, beginning a new series. It's called Listen, Then Repeat. Or that would be Wash, Then Repeat, or something like that. So Listen, Then Repeat. And a little bit later, Shamin Abbas, our Activist for Excellence. And it is advertising and PR, it's not either or, which is something some folks like to try and do. It doesn't work that way. So we're here with you, and glad you're here with us here at The Advertising Show. I'm always amazed and amused by all of the cool new stuff that I see at the malls. I was at the mall last weekend, they've got, you know, the video screens and the commercials running on kiosks, and you can find stuff. I just love innovation like that. Basically, what they're saying, there's a lot of discussion in media circles about the impact of digital technology. One sector enjoying a transformation is once the sleepy domain of mall advertising. What do they have? Nothing but posters all over the place. Companies like AdSpace, Mall Network, OnSpot Digital Network are leading the trend toward digital conversion of their out-of-home mall inventory. AdSpace, by the way, Brad, is the largest in-mall digital video advertising network in the country. It's built a network of over 1,300 screens in 105 malls in the last several years. Plans are to be in more than 200 malls within a couple of years. Same thing with OnSpot Digital Network. So it's an area they said they put a lot of investment and time. Why not? It's a great idea. It's going to make more and more sense as digital evolves to connect from a signage into a point of sale or even coupons or something like that. So way to go. Yeah. That'd be an interesting company to have here at the Advertising Show and talk to some of those people as well.
Yeah, fastest growing sector and out of home is digital, so it only makes sense that they made their way into the malls there. And there'll be a day and a time not too far in the future, Ray, that we'll be telling our grandchildren or children or anybody that'll listen. There once was a time a guy got up on a billboard and he took a bunch of paper out and he put glue on the back and stuck it up there.
Wait a minute.
That was a billboard.
Wait a minute. No, you got to go back further.
Oh, you're going to say painting a sign on the
painting
side of the
building. Painting a sign. I mean, look at in Gannett, this is in the late 70s. They had these big, huge warehouses.
That's true.
Where these people would paint these things, and they actually had real artists doing things as opposed to somebody who was well-versed in Photoshop.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say the cigar
the Barnes.
On the side of the, yeah.
Which is still not a bad idea. And being a pilot, by the way, I've used those before. It's like, where the heck am I? I'll go, there's a water tower, or there's a barn. Okay, I'm there. Okay, that's
good. Bar
or
a barn?
No, the barn. It was the barn. No bars when you're flying.
I got you. Hey, you know, it's interesting because I saw something on the tube the other day about the convention and how they were all flying to Denver and over flying these crop circles that now became ads. And I think it was some pizza company. They don't pay us enough to plug their name. So anyway, Papa John's, we'll say it anyway. Papa John's was doing a crop circle that looked like a pizza and it was missing a piece and had their logo there. I thought it was pretty clever.
What a great idea. Yeah. I love stuff like that. Gene Bliss here. With us on the Advertising Show now with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Welcome to the Customer Experience. making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome. With your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
Our second action for soothing the savaged consumer soul is listen, then repeat. This sounds ridiculously simple, right? Think again. 8 out of 10 phone calls, retail interactions, and service calls begin with prescribing a solution to a customer before the customer is really listened to, understood, or validated. This is a time when customers will want to vent. Let them. Then repeat back to the customer what they said. Because not only do we need to vent right now, we need validation that times are tough, that prices are high, and that we're in pain. If your customer is not in dire straits, good results will also follow. Repeating the reason a customer walked in the store or called your number or emailed your contact us contact will take you to a level that is just not being received today, which is internalizing what the customer needs and using that knowledge to drive an outcome that is right for them.
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to CustomerBliss.com.
Now, we could play that back for you, but you actually can probably hear that on Gene's website very shortly as well, too. Listen, then repeat with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show. What do you have there?
Well, I'm struggling between Stronger Dollar and tweens. Let's go with Stronger Dollar. It's more interesting.
The US dollars. What was the dollar amount on that? So for 50, Alex? Is that right?
Yeah. Okay, we'll go ahead. To dollars for 50. US dollar is strengthening. No secret there. Oh, thank God. And that's a particularly bad sign.
That's
a bad sign for some major internet companies, according to Sanford C. Bernstein's research note recently released. Ray, currency rates that have had a significant positive impact on reported revenues for U.S. internet companies over the past few quarters. And now, that was a result of weak dollar. Now with the strengthening of the U.S. dollar, it puts any company with significant international exposure at risk. A weaker dollar will provide a material boost to U.S. tech giants like HP, IBM, and Sun, where more than 60% of their revenue comes from outside the U.S. Web giants like Google, Yahoo, and eBay have also benefited from a weak dollar, mostly because web companies have a higher portion of their cost in dollars and more of their revenue in foreign currencies. Mm. If the dollar gains another 10% against the euro, then valuations of eBay, Yahoo, and others would slip by somewhere between 8 and 13% respectively. So, that's an interesting idea that a lot of people, I think, over here in the U.S. are not considering.
I totally agree.
Yeah,
I'm still happy to see the dollar get a little bit nicer, though.
It's about time. What direction can it go, after all?
I bought some stuff. I was looking not as familiar as I should be with the euro and such, and with the pound. It's like went to Abbey Road, the studios in England, and they had some shirts and stuff for sale. It's like, man, these are cheap. And now they got the bill. It's like, oh wait, it's 2.5 times the price. Damn, I got an expensive t-shirt. But I got one, so that's a cool thing. This is The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. David Meerman Scott is coming your way here in just a moment. And that's probably the best reason to stay right here.
Here comes another typical commercial. I could get your attention by blowing a foghorn. Or maybe an awesome scream. But even that doesn't cut through the clutter enough to really captivate your attention. If you're an advertiser and you really want your message to be heard, then reach for the golden nugget of advertising. It's what's called a captive audience. One company delivers this much sought-after captive audience. And believe it or not, it's just the people you want to reach, business professionals and decision makers. It all happens in 23 of North America's largest and most progressive markets. And the captive audience is right there in the elevators of select premier office towers. Over 8,000 high-quality video screens get people's attention with what research proves they want, news and information. It's all combined with your branded message in a way that only this captive audience sees and absorbs. Cut the waste in your advertising budget by reaching just who you want to reach. Don't just advertise. Captivate your audience. To find out more, click on Captivate.com.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsyth.
Oh, he was really funny tonight, wasn't he? Coffee?
That's another funny joke.
Oh, Mrs. Olson.
Before Dr. Phil, it was Mrs. Olson, the lady that ladies talk to about not being able to make a good cup of coffee on The Advertising Show. Ray Schillins, Brad Forsyth, and our very special guest this weekend, it's David Meerman Scott, co-author of Tuned In, Uncover the Extraordinary Opportunities That Lead to Business Breakthroughs. And as we said, opportunities and breakthroughs are very good in business. David, it is a sincere pleasure to have you here on The Advertising Show. Welcome.
It's great to be here, Ray and Brad. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure, and we get a lot of books and a lot of call for authors on the show, and we have a small percentage of those on, and we only have them on when we think great things about the book, and you and your co-authors did an outstanding job, David, so we're honored to have you as our guest today. Describe for our audience, if you would, the central theme of your book, Tuned In.
Basically, what we did was we researched a whole bunch of companies. We talked to over 100 CEOs and researched a lot more companies than that, and found that most companies, when they create products and services, are tuned out. In other words, they create products and services just in their own little comfortable offices instead of creating something that will solve a problem for people. And we identified that as a major factor that leads to success or failures. If you're tuned in, you tend to be successful, and if you're not, well, you have a product that sits on the shelves because it doesn't do anything for people.
Yeah, and you guys list six simple yet very powerful, I might add, steps for creating products and services and ideas that what you have coined as resonating right out of the gate. And before we get into that, and we're going to cover that before we get you out of here today, define for us the word resonator, something that you guys list on the very first page of your book. It's a little different, I think, than most people would expect to find in the dictionary.
We use the word resonator to describe a product or service that's so powerful and helps people so much that it basically sells itself. The iPod is an example of a resonator. Starbucks is an example of a resonator. These are products and services that you don't have to coerce people to buy. You don't have to spend a whole bunch of money on expensive advertising or hire huge armies of salespeople to twist people's arms. It's like people are like, I want that. How do I get it?
So this idea of being able to create a book, a product rather, that sells itself, how do you go about locating a consumer that you could access that can help you understand your concept of a resonator and convert that to great product development?
It basically means you just have to get out of your comfortable office and talk to potential buyers of your products and services. So we have a bunch of examples in the book. One of the ones I love is I happen to be a surfer, and although I don't have a great surfing spot like you do to surf every day. And one of the companies we profile is called GoPro, and they're a company that does cameras for surfers. And what they identified is that there's a problem with surfers that they can't take a photograph while they're surfing because it's really tough. And every digital camera on the market was just a traditional camera with a waterproof housing on it. And you can't take a picture when you're trying to surf and using two hands to operate a camera. So they created a wrist-mounted camera that you can take with you and you don't even have to think about until you're ready to shoot, and you just point your wrist over there. And it even shoots automatically. And this is a product that could only have been developed by talking to surfers. And there's millions of surfers in the world, and they're doing a great job selling this thing because, you know, people are like, well, geez, why didn't I think of that? Well, the reason you didn't think of it, because you're selling cameras. You're not selling a product to help a surfer.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a good point. Are new products most successful when they are able to first, as you say, define the problem and then solve the problem, or sometimes products not necessarily solving a problem?
Exactly. And so often what happens is people just say, hey, I think this is cool, or we think this is cool, so let's make it. Or, hey, somebody else did it and it was successful, so we'll do it better, faster, cheaper, or in green, and then that's all we need to do. When in fact, you really get out there and get a sense for an unmet problem. create something that solves it, and then promote that product or service in a way that you're going to reach people who have that problem.
You know, taking the other flip of the coin, you also talk about the concept of a product being tuned out. Describe what you mean by the tuned out idea here.
It's typically when a company is doing something for their own benefit rather than doing something for the benefit of their potential buyers. So products that become tuned out are things that people just create because they're cool. We have, an example I just love because it's so outrageous is an internet refrigerator. And they created these things. Somebody said, wouldn't it be cool to put a screen onto the refrigerator with a touchpad so that people can use the internet while they're looking at the front of their refrigerator? And it's like, well, yeah, you can do that, but who in the heck is going to buy that? What problem is that solving?
Right.
And by the way, these things were $8,000. and so, you know, there's tons of examples like that of products and services and ideas where people just dream something up because they think it's cool, or they dream something up because they're making something that's similar to somebody else and then just selling it at a cheaper price or making it a little bit smaller or something like that.
And so when they seek consumer confirmation that they've got such a brilliant idea, what are they doing? Are they talking to people like themselves and therefore not really seeking out the mainstream to be able to justify developing such an odd product?
Yeah, they do that. They talk to people like themselves. The other thing that's very counterintuitive that we found is that they talk to their existing customers too much. Now, we're all for making sure that you talk to your customers, but at the same time, when you're creating a new product for an unmet need in the marketplace, your existing customers who are already doing business with you aren't going to be a big help. Because if someone's already using your product, you say, hey, we're thinking about doing something else, what do you think we should do? They're going to come at it from the perspective of already being your customer. And if you think about the total market as like a big fat pizza pie, then your existing customers represent a very, very tiny slice of that pizza. And if those are the only people you're talking to, you may be missing out on 90 or 99 or 99.9% of the market, because those are all the people who don't yet do business with you and potentially could.
David Meerman Scott is our very special guest here at the Advertising Show this weekend, co-author of Tuned In, Uncover the Extraordinary Opportunities That Lead to Business Breakthroughs. We've got more with David in just a moment on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Stay right here.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is the Advertising Show.
Here are some most happy fellas, the four lads for Ford.
Standing on the corner. This is the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. And our special guest this weekend is David Meerman Scott, co-author of Tuned In, Uncover the Extraordinary Opportunities That Lead to Business Breakthroughs. David, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Yeah, David, just to follow up on what you were just speaking of at the end of the last segment, are you suggesting that you talk to someone other than, when you say you suggest talking to someone other than your own customer, are you suggesting to talk to non-customers, meaning those just totally out of the category, or are you suggesting to talk to your competition's customers, just those that you just happen to not do business with?
We always suggest to people that they find unresolved problems. That's the key, finding unresolved problems. And usually that means that you have to talk to people who could potentially buy a product like yours but don't yet have it, haven't solved that problem yet. And you interview representatives of what we call that buyer persona. And here's a great example to kind of illustrate that. The rental car business has been around since the 1940s. And Avis, Hertz, National Budget, all the big guys, you know, they have rental car agencies in big cities. They have rental car agencies at the airports. And they've been doing business the same way, basically, since the 1940s. If you had asked, and it's a very competitive business, very price-sensitive business, if you had asked any of those guys, is there room for another big rental car company, they would have all said no. And if you had asked them, is there a market that's unresolved in the rental car business, they would say no. Yet there's a company called Zipcar, which we're in love with because they do all the things that we talk about in a really cool way. They went out and talked to people who live in cities and who don't want to go to a rental car agency to rent a car. They don't want to rent a car by a day. They don't want to go to the airport. And they need a car for a very short trips. And what they did was they created a market where you can actually become a member of Zipcar. You get a swipe card, and then you make your reservation online. And then here's one of the keys, is that the cities, because it's a green initiative, have given them parking spaces mm-hmm. all over the city. And when you go in and you log on, it'll say your car is waiting for you, and it's only two blocks away. It's in the parking spot. You swipe your card against the window of the car. The door opens. You drive away for 2 hours. You come back. People are using it to go to Home Depot to pick up some supplies. These are people who don't own their own car, don't want to deal with the hassles of the regular rental car business. And as a result, they've created a resonator with tons of people that they're doing hundreds of millions of dollars worth of business.
And that was mostly college students, as I recall, that they hit first a lot of college campuses and such. They found that they did a big article about them as well.
Yeah, and college students was one market. People who live in cities, like they actually started in Boston, where I live, and you see Zipcars all over the place.
Yeah.
And it's just an amazing concept that Avis, Hertz, National Budget, anybody could have done it. But because they were so focused on their own market, what those guys end up doing is making their products just a tiny bit better. Oh, let's put GPS machines in it. Well, that doesn't solve another unresolved problem. It just helps your customers a tiny bit better.
And when you say Home Depot, the funny part there is I can see somebody going to pick up a load of peat moss. You know, it's like, no, I don't think so. That'd be a pickup truck. Maybe another product for them to market as
well.
There
you go, a little pickup truck.
You know, of all the examples you give in your book, the Zipcar is such a great example or illustration, if you will, that just really drives home the idea that once you see the idea rolled out, as you just described it, David, it's one of those hit your hand on your head. I did not think of that. And as Roy mentioned, starting with one market, the obvious market, but it's grown far beyond just the college kids. And if you've ever been out east there, you know how many cases it's very limited use of a car for many people, but yet you still need one. And it's, again, just such an obvious idea once you hear it. Let's shift gears for just a second and talk a little bit about social media and getting tuned in with your customers. David, does anyone really want to be friends with Pizza Hut on Facebook or MySpace?
Well, you know, that's actually an example. I agree. I agree that I don't know who wants to be friends with a pizza. But at the same time, it's so interesting to be able to create content online that can help people to make decisions about whether they want to do business with your organization or not. And what social media allows companies to do, essentially for the first time, at least the way I see it, is create their own content that people can consume. That can be a YouTube video, it can be a podcast, it can be a great website, a blog, for example. And that provides an interesting alternative to the traditional ways that we've reached our potential customers, which is with advertising or buying access in someone else's media, or media relations and trying to get the editorial gatekeepers to talk about your products and services. So in a way, it's very liberating, and again, the tuned-in companies know how to use it. They don't just say, let's make a Facebook page for Pizza Hut and have people become friends with a pizza, but they think, wait a minute, how can we reach these people? I mean, maybe we can make some funny videos about crop circles with pizza in them or something.
Uh-huh. David Mirman Scott, our special guest, The Advertising Show, here with Ray Shillings and Brett Forsythe. You got to get the book. He's the co-author of Tuned In, Uncover the Extraordinary Opportunities That Lead to Business Breakthroughs. We'll be back with more in just a minute.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Pee Wee Reese has a way with Dodger rookies or Sandlot youngsters.
Pee Wee, you do a lot of work with boys.
Not work, Al. I like baseball and kids.
Back in the 70s, meaning tuning in was a little bit different. It was connected with turning on, but in this in the new century here, we've got a new meaning for that here. It's David Meerman Scott, our special guest, co-author of Tuned In, Uncover the Extraordinary Opportunities That Lead to Business Breakthroughs. Or maybe, David, it is a holdover from the 60s, huh?
Well, you know what's really interesting? We identified one company from the 60s that was totally tuned in, and that's the Grateful Dead, the band. Why? Because they were the first band that allowed their concert goers to tape their shows. And as a result of allowing concert goers to tape their shows, which was a very tuned in thing to do, they became one of the most popular traveling acts in history. And because people were exposed to the music first on tape, and then they decided they wanted to see a show for themselves.
Oh, cool.
Well, you know, I was struggling with whether I was going to ask this question, and you just said that so beautifully. I think I will. Wouldn't it have been so much more innovative, David, to have posted your book for free on a website rather than selling it through traditional channels?
We what we did with this book and some of our other my other book, I've done this as well, is we've actually created what we call an ebook version, which is a little bit slimmed down but still has tons of content. And provide that totally for free. I've got two ebooks that are on my site. One is called The New Rules of Viral Marketing. And The New Rules of Viral Marketing has been out since the beginning of this year, 2008. It's been downloaded 250,000 times. So providing free content, free valuable content, is a very tuned in way of getting people interested in what you do. And people aren't dumb. They know that if, hey, you helped me with this little bit of free content, maybe I should buy something from you.
Sure. And by the way, that's davidmeermanscott.com, right, David?
That's right. That'd be on davidmeermanscott.com. And we've also got some stuff on the tuned-in book.com site as well.
Well, I mean, you know, you've got great innovative ideas. I guess it's just getting Stahl and Myers to go along with it on Tuned In, huh?
They're there. We had a really good time writing the book together because we each had different ideas, different philosophies. I tend to be what I call an outbound marketing guy. I really like creating content for people and getting marketing going. And Craig is a real expert in what we call inbound marketing, which is figuring out what products people want to buy. And Phil is an excellent strategist. So putting the three of our work together, we were able to create Tuned In. None of the three of us could have done it on our own.
You know, just a couple of quick questions before we let you go in the short time that we have left. First off, what are the first steps you would suggest a company take when if they wanted to start benefiting from a Tuned In philosophy right away?
The first thing is just to find unresolved problems. I mean, don't create a product because you think it's cool. Create products and services because you've got problems. People have problems out there that you can solve. That's the most important thing. Second is to understand your buyer personas really, really well. Understand the people that you're trying to reach and how to market them. Those are the fundamental steps. You get those things right, and then the product, you can build products that I mean, it sounds cliche, but it is kind of true, that almost sell themselves.
You know, and I think one final question I would have is why is it that we're finding that in this year's election process that some politicians have understood the tune-in process and others have just totally missed it, do you think?
We actually have been following, in particular, Barack Obama for since he announced. And it was interesting to us, when you watch him, that he almost never talks about himself. He talks about people's problems. The other thing that was fascinating with him is that he articulated a powerful idea really early. The idea was just one word, it's change. And that was something that resonated with people in a way that the other politicians just didn't seem to be able to nail. I mean, this isn't a political discussion. I'm not suggesting that's the right candidate. But as a marketer, I'm fascinated with what he was able to accomplish by identifying that his buyer personas or voters are interested in change and then articulating that really powerfully.
Go get the book. It's called Tuned In, Uncover the Extraordinary Opportunities That Lead to Business Breakthroughs. David Mearman Scott, thank you again for being part of the Advertising Show this weekend.
Ray and Brett, I really appreciate it. It was great talking to you.
Continued success. Write more books. Back in just a minute with more of the Advertising Show.
Smart marketers are discovering a new and better way to get creative solutions. One company got solutions for a corporate identity program in less than 36 hours. The second got solutions for a public relations campaign that won 2 international creative awards. The third got solutions for a direct marketing campaign that got a 30% response rate. These marketers are finding creative solutions in a better way. The Open Ad Way. You go to openad.net and gain access to a global brain trust of nearly 11,000 creators. Within days, you get 20 or more creative solutions, and you pay only for the solutions you use. It's a radical new idea. You owe it to yourself to discover what it can mean to have creative solutions on demand. Find out now by going to openad.net, openad.net. Creative solutions on demand.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsyth.
Once upon a time there was an engineer.
Choo-choo Charlie was his name, we hear.
He had
Thanks again to David Scott here at The Advertising Show, co-author of Tuned In, Uncover the Extraordinary Opportunities That Lead to Business Breakthroughs. Opportunities and breakthroughs in business are good, so go get the book, okay? We also have Rashad Tabakawala. The CEO of Deno, coming up next week on the Advertising Show. You probably heard about Rashad and would like to find out more about what he is all about and what his company does. Well, it's right here at theadvertisingshow.com. Ray Schillins, Brad Forsyth. And, last week we were talking about Speedos. No, we weren't talking about Speedos. We were talking about, thongs. But that's a close thing. Speedos, it says Speedo Puma run circles around Nike. Imagine if the U.S. has been upstaged in medal count by Moldova at the 08 Beijing Olympics, which was really incredible. An equivalent scenario played out on the marketing side. Nike and Adidas, or as one of our friends says, Adidas, carpet bombed the games with endorser athletes and high-profile sponsorships deals, but smaller companies like Speedo and Puma achieved greater surges in awareness and buzz by backing a smaller group of athletes who just happened to dominate the games and much of the conversation surrounding them. Speedo saw a 128% increase in global online chatter. New Balance 67, Reebok 66, Puma 64, and then you get down to Nike. ASICS got nothing. Nike got 17%, Adidas got 18%. So I guess it's not only having the right product out there, but it's being in the right place at the right time. Pick your favorites and pick a winner. That's a good thing to do.
Yeah, and I thought, I was really impressed with the closing ceremonies of the Olympics,
wow.
Ray. I felt the pride during the opening of the ceremony of the Olympics, pride for the Chinese, that have been a suppressed culture for many, many years. And same thing with the closing. I mean, it was, they just really put on a great show, I thought.
Oh, it was amazing, beyond amazing. It was like, okay, that's pretty cool. Vegas hasn't done that good. Shamin Abbas, our activist for excellence, advertising and PR. It is not one or the other. It's both. Let's find out what she's talking about today.
And now it's time for Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional. Now, here's your host, the uncompromising Shamin Abbas.
Advertising and PR, it's not either or. Public relations firms often work with a range of clients on a local and national level, which means they get to run the gamut between working with companies that already have an ad agency cranking out creative and companies who instead just work directly with freelance graphic designers on a project-by-project basis. The fact is that for some businesses, finances create that either-or situation, and the company's profit margins simply do not allow them to have both a PR firm and an ad agency on retainer. But other clients with ready capital need to be educated on how advertising and public relations firms can work together to meet their sales and distribution goals. A truly holistic campaign includes both beautiful and effective advertising placed in the media most likely to reach the target audience, and a concerted PR effort that includes a combination of direct media pitching, grassroots efforts that include events, and other street-level approaches to getting the consumer to touch or experience what you're selling. Consumers are a sophisticated lot, and they recognize advertising even when it's disguised as an advertorial. Conversely, mention in an editorial article continues to carry weight with the buying public, who subconsciously believe that the journalism is impartial. Ads reinforce through repetition, PR reinforces ideals through constant pitching and a wide assortment of angles that engage the reporter to write about the client. Agencies often bring PR firms into the mix to make inroads that advertising just cannot, by putting products in consumers' hands at events, by creating inventive ways to promote the client, and by garnering that coveted editorial coverage that can make a tremendous difference. You can have a great product and advertise it in all the right places, but a single appearance on the Today Show or even a local TV's morning show can make an astounding difference.
You've been listening to Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional with host Shamin Abbas. Shamin is president and founder of Shamin Abbas Public Relations, a full-service agency providing local, regional, national, and international media relations, special event production, and inventive promotion, with offices in New York City and West Palm Beach. To learn more, visit ShaminAbbasPR.com. That's ShaminAbbasPR.com.
Always great information from Shamin Abbas, our activist for excellence on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Brad, what do you have there?
Well, you know, a lot of people might think paying for a taxi ride or a meal in a restaurant by simply sending a text message from your mobile sounds like something out of a sci-fi flick, but it's not. Of course, we've heard about this going on at different parts of the world, but this will blow your mind. It's a new technology. It's almost here. And at last, it's in Mexico.
Oh, really?
Where residents will soon be able to take advantage of their savings accounts linked to their cell phones. Telephone operators are working with large banks, including Citigroup, to make the service reality. Marketing to teens, the new service is scheduled to be available by the end of the year. And, of course, the teens being the more techno-savvy of the Mexican culture there. Of course, Mexico isn't the first place to use cell phones in this way. Japan, I guess, has been doing it for quite a few years and with vending machines and train tickets and so forth. But, you know, I find it interesting that here Mexico is, for all intents and purposes, you know, I guess jumping ahead of the U.S. in having this capability, at least.
Really?
I don't know that we have that capability or not. I'm not sure. But if we do, not a lot are using it. I think there'd be some security issues.
Probably so, yeah. Hey, I've got something here from Advertising Age. It's all about politics these days, right? You've got the DNC and the Republicans out there as well. And basically what they're doing, I didn't even know about this. McCain Foods, not John McCain Foods, just McCain Foods, are also hitting the campaign trail. Some tie-ins just right themselves, they say. A Canadian packaged food company that has languished in American freezer aisles for years has decided it's time for a change, at least in frozen potatoes. Okay, and what they're doing is, the print ad says, why McCain should be in the White House. and they show a plate of potatoes here. McCain is spending the equivalent of its annual online budget between now and early November. The swell is fortuitously in sync with the ascendance of the presidential candidate of the same name. Just like a politician, the company is capitalizing on name recognition with an election-themed campaign. And if you haven't seen it, you probably will soon. So why McCain should be in the White House? Go out and buy some McCain Foods potatoes. isn't that great?
That is great.
I love it. I love it. We've got to, we are out of time here at the Advertising Show. It's Ray Schilling, Brad Forsyth. And hope you enjoyed today's show. Come back next week. I'm going to find, okay, gentlemen, I've lost it. Oh, no, here it is. Rashad Tabakawala. I said it right. Yay!
Yeah.
CEO of Dano, and Rashad will be with us here at theadvertisingshow.com. As always, peruse the site, find out what's all the little things that are hiding here, okay? They're actually pretty easy to find. Great interviews way back to 2001 with Ray Schillings and Brad Forsyth. The Advertising Show is being brought to you by Advertising Age magazine. You can visit them online at adage.com, and by Captivate Network. You can visit them at captivate.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.